My name's Brent Hershey, and you might remember the last name, Hershey. I am the father of Dustin, who Marcy and I brought into this world. And they are responsible for all of the other children that they have. And we have another son who has a lot of children. And we have enough children to have its own department here in this church. And but they're great and they're wonderful. Dustin and Sarah are in Idaho, right, Marcy? Is it Montana? Okay, well, it's right there. It's close. And they're at a special conference that with other upcoming younger pastors, and so they're glad to go to that and escape for a while and have a good time, and so we're ready to have them come back now. But no, our grandkids are great, and it's an honor for me to speak this morning. I was on staff at this church many years ago, and so when I was here, this is when we did the big remodel on the building, and that was an adventurous time because we never left this building, so we had to meet in various different spots because it used to be the platform was on that end of the sanctuary, so everything got turned around, but didn't it turn out great? I mean, it's really nice, and so it was huge for this church and for this community, and it was an honor to serve here for as many years as I did, and now we're back, just hanging out together, and it's good. Thank you. Now, I wore this jacket this morning, not to, because I know Dustin doesn't usually wear a jacket, and neither do I. But I'm wearing it because it's Christmas, okay? That's why I'm wearing it. That's not really true, but I'm wearing it. So I look official at this point in time. And, you know, we love being here. And there's going to be some other guys later on down the road that are going to speak about this, what I'm going to be speaking about this morning, and that's kind of a, and I know that Godwin's going to be speaking, and Lawrence is going to be speaking, so I don't know exactly when that's going to happen, but you're getting new folks all the time, so you don't have to listen to Dustin every week. So, what would you expect from me? I'm taking as many shots as I can when I get up here. That's how it goes. Well, we're working on doing what we need to do and walk with Jesus and keep that whole thing going at this time. And so we're getting ready to prepare our hearts to celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus right now. And we're going to do a... We're launching kind of a new message series called The Gift. And it will just progress, as I told you, not one right after another, but it's going to happen. And we're going to look at three different gifts that some wise men gave to Jesus around the time of his birth out of Matthew's gospel. Matthew chapter 2, if you want to turn there. And let me kind of just give you a little bit of a context in as far as Matthew chapter 2 has going. And if you don't know the story, Jesus was born in Bethlehem during the reign of King Herod. And some wise men, or you might call them magi, traveled a long ways to come and worship Jesus. Now, how many wise men were there? Well, we'll debate that a little bit this morning. If you don't know the story, Jesus was born in Bethlehem during the reign of King Herod, and that's when this happened. How many of you have a nativity scene at your that you put outside of your house? Okay, yeah. How many of you have like a live nativity scene that you put on the outside of your house? You know, that's how that works. But we know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem during the reign of King Herod, and these wise men came. And if you look at the nativity scene, how many wise men do you always see?
Three,
okay? You always see three. Here's a question. How many wise men were there? Well, you know what? We don't know. Now, I'm not preaching heresy here, but we don't know. And we tend to think that there were three because perhaps they brought three gifts, okay? But the reality is we have no idea how many there were. Chances are, you know what? There could have been far more than that, far more. But tradition tells us three. We do know that for sure that these wise men were highly educated. They were wealthy. Then they were desperate to meet the one who might be the savior of the world. And so that's why they were there. What we do know also is that they wanted to meet Jesus. And the scripture says when they saw the star, Matthew chapter 10, that they were filled with joy in their hearts. And they entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped Jesus. And then they opened their hearts and they began to be excited about he was there. Now, let's talk about frankincense for a second here. Before I tell you the meaning of frankincense, we need to know a little bit about frankincense. Frankincense is an oil that possesses a lot of different stuff. It was used as an antiseptic. It was used as a diuretic. I never knew that. It was a digestive sedative. There were other therapeutic properties about it. And I don't know exactly about all those things, but that's kind of the way it was. And those are things that the scripture talks about to us. And we can learn from that. What we also need to know is that what we're going to talk about today is Jesus as our high priest. The priest in the scripture served one big primary role that was broken into two functions. The priest would essentially be a representative of the people before God. And I'm gonna represent you to God if I'm the priest. And the priest's primary role was in two functions. First, there's the priest made sacrifices and for all forgiveness of sins. And as the priest, he'd take an innocent animal and sacrifice it to on behalf of the people of God, representing the people of God. And I want to talk about those two things for a moment. And we'll start with the sacrifice for our sins. Since the very moment in the Garden of Eden and Eve sinned against God, there were two opposing forces. There was the holiness of God and the sinfulness of mankind. And you know, in our culture today, a lot of people don't want to say we actually sin. Have you ever met anybody that felt that way? A lot of people just think, hey, we can just go on and, you know, do what we could do. And they might say, we made a mistake, but it's not a sin. Or, you know, who's to tell me I sin? You know, if it feels good, some people go, then, you know, do it. What's good to me is true to me and true to you. So, you know, you do your life and I'll do mine. So one person said that sin's a very outdated term to trick children into being good. Never had heard it quite that way before. I mean, in other words, who needs sin when you've got Elf on a Shelf, right? Right? Who can tell you what your kids are doing and tell Santa who's making the list and checking things twice, and who's going to find out who's what? Naughty and nice, okay? Here's the challenge. We have to understand the reality of sin, because there's the holiness of God and then there's the sinfulness of man. And if I don't understand what it truly means that God is holy, we'll never realize the cost and the tragedy of what sin does to us. God's holy. He's holy. And what does it mean that God is holy? Well, the word holy comes from the Greek word, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly. It's spelled A-G-I-O-S, Agios or whatever. I probably have mispronounced that, which it means separate. It means other. What is God? Well, God is, he is transcendently separate. Our God, as you know, is perfect in every way. Aren't you thankful for that? He's perfect in every way. He is flawless. He never makes mistakes. He is pure. There is no fault in him. There's no wrong. There's no separation from us. He is perfect. So we need to understand that holiness isn't just one of the attributes of God, but holiness is the perfection of all his attributes. His power is holy. His mercy is holy. His glory is holy. And it's his holiness, his separateness, his purity that makes him worthy of our praise. And that's what he has to be in order to be God. He is all of those things. Aren't we thankful for that? We have a loving God. And not all of us, not a single one of us sometimes always understand that. You know, that's why God, you know, we've done stuff wrong sometimes, and sin can break our intimacy with God. And that's why God hates sin, because it separates us from him. And because it's everything he's not, it's the opposite of his holiness and his fellowship with us and that whole thing. We're separated from him. It destroys our life. And the holiness of God would make a sacrifice as a temporary payment for the sins of his people. Now, it was known as the Day of Atonement, or called Yom Kippur. And the priest would sacrifice an innocent animal and go into the tabernacle behind the veil into the place known as, what was it known as? The Holy of Holies. And the priest would then light the frankincense, and the incense would let smoke rise, burning to heaven. And that represented the cries of the people of God for mercy. And then the priest, now this gets a little ugly, but the priest would take the blood of an innocent animal and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. And this would symbolize the death of an innocent one in the place of the guilty ones. Have you ever heard of a, you've heard of this, you ever heard of a goat before? Of course you have. Scapegoat, though. There's another thing, scapegoat. And you know, anybody heard frankincense, a scapegoat? You ever heard of that? Have you ever, anybody heard of a scape? Look, the term came from this. The priest would take a goat, an innocent goat, and confess the sins of the people, and symbolically transferring the sins onto the goat. And then they would drive the goat into the wilderness, or sometimes off of a cliff. And therefore the first animals died as a sacrifice, paying the price for the sins. And symbolically the scapegoat was run out of the community, symbolizing the sins have been separated from the people of God. Now, you know what? As I see that and I understand that, you know, to me that hits me as weird, okay? I'm not trying to be, you know, blasphemous here, but it seems weird to me. Now, some of you are looking at me right now and Brent's going off. He's going off the rails here. He's preaching heresy and that whole thing, you know. And watch out. Somebody thinking, watch out, you might get stricken while you're sitting here on this chair. Well, that's not exactly what's happened. You know, it's extreme, but it's kind of gross, but there seems an entirely unfair, innocent little animal dying in our place. Who'd come up with something like that? Here's what we have to understand, because God's just. He's completely just, and he must punish sin, but God is not only just, he's also merciful, and here's the beauty of what God does. The sacrifice, God's just, the sacrifice satisfies God's justice, and at the same time extends mercy. It's the price that is paid, but someone else pays that price for the forgiveness of sins. And so God's holiness, his justice is satisfied, and yet he extends mercy to the people that he loves so much. Now this was a kind of a transparent covering under the old covenant. But you know what? We are not people of the old covenant. We're under the what? The new covenant. That's what we're under. And I want to tell you about a new and a better sacrifice. In the 10th chapter of Hebrews, in verse 10, it tells us a little bit about our great high priest. Who's the great high priest? His name is Jesus, yeah? It's Jesus. And he's the Son of God. And for God's will, Scripture says, was for us to be made holy. You know what? We are not holy in and of ourselves. But it's God's will for us to be holy. That's important for us to remember. By the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, once and for all. And under that covenant, okay, under that covenant, that's how we come to know who Jesus is. You know, I think it's important for us to understand that Jesus relates to our trials and he sympathizes with our pain. And whatever we're going through, he understands what we're going through. If you're feeling stressed right now, you know, then don't feel like you're going through it alone. If you have crazy people in your family, anybody have crazy people in your family? I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Okay. Jesus, here's the thing. Jesus dealt with crazy people in his family. Did you know that? Yeah, he did. It's a spiritual principle. It's a spiritual principle. Every family has crazies in it. Everybody does. And when Jesus said, I am the Messiah, his family, how did his family respond? You're a lunatic. What are you talking about? Think about how much Jesus understands. So you can know how much he cares. Jesus was conceived out of wedlock to a teenage mom. That was scandalous. Scandalous. He was raised in a small town where everybody whispered about him and called him literally the bastard boy. Yeah, I said it in church. That's what they called him. Jesus lived in poverty. He was criticized. He was ridiculed. He was bullied. He was tempted by the devil again and again and again and again. And when he was at his weakest and most vulnerable, when that was going on, he did not sin. He did not sin. He grieved the loss of family members. He was accused of things that he did not do. His friends betrayed him, and he felt abandoned on the cross. He wasn't, but he felt that way because when Jesus, the great high priest, became sin for us, kind of like the scapegoat, he gave his life for sin God looked away. You know why God looked away? I'll tell you why. Because God's too holy to look upon sin. And Jesus Christ cried out in agony, my God, where are you? If you've ever felt like you couldn't reach the presence of God, Jesus understands. You know, whatever you felt, he felt. That's the great thing about the Lord. He felt it too. Wherever you hurt, he hurt. And he is our great high priest who cares about us. And he's not sitting in heaven going, well, you know, it's really unfortunate for you that you're down there and I'm up here. That's not what he does. He's experienced all of the pain of being in a human body. All of the emotion of being rejected by friends, of all the agony of hurting, of feeling alone, of feeling abandoned. Okay? Have you ever had some of those experiences in your life before? I think all of us have. We've had people who have abandoned us or left us or didn't care about us. And in John 11, it says that the Word became flesh. God was born in the form of a child who loves you, who cares about you. And God, in his divine providence, he sent magi to this world, and wise men to offer gifts, and prophetically declaring the nature of Jesus to come. He got gold, he is our king. Myrrh, he's the suffering servant, the Lamb of God. Frankincense, he is our high priest who would be sacrificed for the forgiveness of sins, and pray prayers to our God in heaven. Folks, that's why Scripture is so important when it tells us this. In Hebrews 4, verse 4, chapter 16, it says, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. You know what we can do, folks? Unashamedly, we can come boldly to him. We can do that. We can come to him because he cares. We can come to him because he understands. Is that not incredible and a tremendous thing for us? Have you ever gone to somebody and they didn't understand, or maybe they didn't care? And it's hard. But when we come to Jesus, he gets it. He knows. And we can come before him. That can happen because his justice has been satisfied and he extends mercy. And what will we find in our high priest? We will find grace to help us when we need it the most. I hope you get this. I hope you understand it. I hope you can grasp onto this today. You can come to Jesus this morning. You can do that because he's there. And we'll find grace that will help us from him when we do that. And we don't need to be afraid. You know what? When you come to him, you don't have to pray in the King James language. You can just speak normally to him. He'll understand it. Okay? You don't have to hide from him. You don't have to cower from him. And what I want to do, you know, this morning is I want to give you I want to give you a little gift to spend a few moments with God in his presence. How long has it been since you've really spent some time in the presence of God and enjoyed it? If you're hurting today, this is the day to give your hurts to God. You can come boldly before him because he's going to hear it. And we can come to him. That's the great thing about our Father who loves us. We are blessed, aren't we, to have him with us. And because he does that, who sacrificed his life so that we might have forgiveness, and who prays for us as he sits at the right hand of God the Father, prays for us every day in intercession. He understands the details of our lives. And maybe you have a loved one that is far away from God this morning. And you know that. You know, God knows that. Pray for him. Bring their name up to him. It's not like he doesn't know. But don't you love it when people pray for you? Man, we need that. We need that. And in this moment, when Jesus, during this time, this Christmas time, okay, he is the high priest. Jesus is the high priest who is our Savior. Aren't we glad that he came for you and for me, and that he didn't, you know, abandon us down here? Now, I know that Christmas can be a hard time for folks. And I think we need to be reminded that, yeah, Christmas is great, you know, with all the Christmas songs we sing and the trees and all that kind of stuff. But Christmas is really a holy time. It's a holy time. It's when our Savior was born. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot. We have a God who came to save the world. And our world needs to recognize and understand that and know that he is the one. I've been to Israel twice. Twice. And that was a real blessing for me to do that and go to places where Jesus walked and all that kind of stuff. Garden of Gethsemane and many things like that. And unless you've been living under a rock, you realize that there is an attack going on in Israel today. And they're fighting against Hamas. And there's a lot of horrible, horrible things that are going on. And there must be people that wonder about, you know, why is God allowing this to happen and all that kind of stuff. I don't have the answer to that question. But I know that God is with Israel. He is with them. And we need to pray about that whole situation. We need to pray. Because we're blessed here. We're blessed here. And sometimes we take the freedoms that we have for granted, don't we? That we can gather in this place and not be persecuted and not be threatened and all that kind of stuff. And nothing catches God by surprise. He knows. He knew what's going to happen. But we cannot forget. And we will pray this morning. And we are going to have, you know, communion together. Father, now as we gather at your table today and remember what you have done for us, we come with gratefulness in our hearts. And we love you. And we honor you. As we do that together this morning, Lord, may you be pleased with it. For those of you that would like to come and get your elements, you can do that and then return to your seat. I don't know if the worship team is coming up at this point in time, but if they do, that's great. We'd love that. So you don't have to be you. There's elements in the back too that you can get if you want to go that way, or you can come this way. You don't have to be a member of this church to do this. You just have to be walking and with Jesus. So God bless you as you come. So this morning, as we participate in communion together, communion is it's a time when we examine who we are and what we're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're thankful that he came to this earth and he sacrificed himself for you and for me so that we might have eternal life and live forever with him. In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So we partake. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Shall we proclaim it together? We're blessed, aren't we, church? We're blessed. Sometimes we can go through life and we forget how blessed we are. If you had time this morning, I'm sure there's several of you could talk about how blessed you are, or how God rescued you from something, or how he kept you safe. I'm sure there's many that could do that. And even in those times when we have sinned and turned our backs on the Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't kick us out. He calls for us to come back to him, because he's our loving Savior. We are so blessed to have a loving and forgiving God. May we remind ourselves of that every day. Every day.